You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, she covers the Browns for the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, joins us every Tuesday at 11. She's Mary Kay Cabot. Hi, Mary Kay.
Hey, Mary Kay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. We're doing well. Any surprises to you out of the initial round of cuts? Eric Kush is gone, TJ Carey among them. I was a little surprised about TJ, except from the money standpoint, maybe you're going to use that somewhere else.
Maybe a little bit surprised about TJ amongst that first round. But when you factor in the money and the production together, it's a little bit less surprising. I think that you're going to see, especially in this more analytics-driven era, that money will be a big, huge factor in decisions. And that's why we will see some more things coming up that could be at least mildly surprising.
How much of that is just being a good guy, cutting these guys early so they can find another gig? Is that real?
In some cases it's real. But I think for right now, it's mostly just the business of the NFL that's going on. I mean, if you look around, this is happening on almost every team. It's the time to start making these kinds of moves. You've got free agency coming up in 1 month. You've got, obviously, the draft coming up. So it's time to start deciding who you're franchising, who you're transitioning, who you're keeping, who you're not.
All right, let's talk about the $13 million or almost $14 million that they save. Where do you think that ends up going? Back towards, another free agent? Do they use that for guys currently on the roster, or where does that go?
Well, they will continue to increase that number, and we've talked about this several times before on the show, that there are guys like Olivier Vernon that you have to watch because he's got a $15 million payday coming up next year, and it's not guaranteed. So something's going to happen with him one way or the other. So that cap space will continue to increase. It will be used to add free agents. I think they will probably add four or five free agents, maybe not all starters, but they will add, they will fill some holes that way. They will also perhaps re-sign some of their guys. Maybe this gives an opportunity to meet up with Joe Schobert's agent and try to see if they can't come to some kind of a financial agreement. Things like that. They'll use the money wisely.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us. What impression do you get on Andrew Berry, Mary Kay? And I know it's early. Do you think he's going to be the kind of guy who likes to build his team through the draft? Is he going to be the kind of guy who likes to sign a lot of free agents? Or is he the guy who supplements things with free agency while building through the draft?
I think he'll use every means possible in the same way that John Dorsey did. I think he'll be very aggressive. He told us in his introductory press conference that he wants to be defined by aggression. I was a little bit surprised by that, because when I think of Andrew Berry, or at least in the first 3 years that he was here, I didn't necessarily think of him in that way. I mean, we know he's extremely intelligent. We know that he's got a good scouting background and all those kinds of things. But, for him to come right out and say that he wants to be defined by aggression, I thought it was a bold statement to make. And it makes me really eager to see what he's got up his sleeve coming up here in free agency and what he plans to do with some of these existing Browns on the roster. So I think you'll see trades. I think you'll see him, again, add four or five, maybe six free agents, and maybe even some wheeling and dealing on draft day.
Mary Kay, where does the Mason Rudolph versus Myles Garrett story end? Or has it ended? Or is it still continuing every day until some audio appears? I think this thing's dead in the water. If you ask me, what do you think?
Well, it's not dead right now because, obviously, of the events and the interviews of the weekend and Mike Tomlin coming back yesterday and Mason Rudolph and all the responses that we have heard. So it's certainly not dead right now, but I don't think there is going to be much more to it going forward unless they decide to sue. If they sue for defamation, then that adds a whole new layer. But I do think the interesting thing about this is that, that you can see from what Mike Tomlin said yesterday is, the Steelers just are not happy about the way this whole thing has transpired, including the suggestion by Myles that they somehow were part of a cover-up. So there is some lingering bad blood here that I think is going to have to be smoothed over a little bit.
Mary Kay, if this turns into a lawsuit, I would think that's exactly what the NFL doesn't want, because then, whether there's audio or not audio, if there's a lawsuit, they're definitely going to find out if there's audio. Wouldn't you think? I mean, it's going to get really sticky if that's the case.
Oh, yes, absolutely, 100%. If a lawsuit comes down, there will be a lot of things that, you know, that are used in the suit, that are deposed or whatever. So, yeah, there would be a call for audio. There would be an investigation. And I'm sure that, again, that the NFL probably doesn't want that.
Do you think there's audio, Mary Kay?
You know, I don't think so. I don't think there's any recorded audio, but there's a misconception. People are, you know, getting the idea that there was no audio going on the field at that time, but there was. I mean, there, you know, they did have helmets in the mics of some of the players. They always do that, especially the offensive linemen, to enhance the, you know, the QB sound and stuff like that. So there was audio, but it wasn't recorded audio. Now, the only audio that I can think of that someone might have would be, you know, the broadcast audio. So, you know, I don't know if that's been mined thoroughly or not. But as you mentioned before, there will be no real conclusion to this unless there is some audio with Mason Rudolph actually saying on that authentic audio, undoctored audio, what Miles says he said. If that is never produced, then it will always continue to be a he said situation.
Absolutely. And Mary Kay, the only way there's audio here is if Miles was wearing a microphone.
And I disagree with that.
No, hold on.
Okay.
And he would have already said that. Or if Mason Rudolph was wearing a microphone. Andy, I don't...
But hold on.
As close as those guys were, Mary Kay, I mean, Miles is laying on Mason Rudolph, right? Because he just sacked him. Mason could have said anything. Who knows what he said? And no one is going to hear that. No one. No microphone's going to hear that.
Unless
Mason Rudolph's wearing a microphone. Because, Andy, there's so much noise, and they're so close. I mean, their faces were basically touching, other than the fact that they were wearing helmets for a while.
Yeah, here's where
That's the only way you're going to hear
it. So the way the rule reads is that either your center or your backup center, the teams are told they have to wear a microphone. But I don't think these microphones come into play. The center or the backup center, either those two can wear mics or your guards can wear mics. That's part of the rule. I think that if there's audio out there and it exists, it's from someone who had a parabolic mic off on the side, or a local, or not. It might not even be a local. Someone with a really good set of audio gear on the sidelines that could have been reporting. Jeff, you know that those omnidirectional mics or other there are microphones that could have got the sound.
But
absolutely.
If our face, I disagree.
I disagree.
If our faces are next to each other, and I said, "Baskin, you're a dork," no one's going to hear that.
Totally disagree with you.
Right.
Totally. The microphones can pick up a lot more than you think.
I think
you're underestimating that. I think you're thinking of 1970s cameras compared to today's high-tech audio we have.
I don't think so.
Mary Kay, welcome to our family.
Not in a screaming stadium, Mary Kay. Hey, where's Odell Beckham playing next year, Mary Kay? What's the latest?
Well, you know, for right now, I'm going to say here in Cleveland that both sides, you know, have basically said they want to be here. They want him here. Jimmy Haslam, you know, when we've had him a couple of times recently, talked about how he thinks that Odell will come back and have big, big production here next year. You know, I do think that Odell sees that, you know, there are some good things going on in terms of a new offense, new coaches. So for right now, I'm going to stay here. But I will tell you, rumors start to fly, you know, when you start walking around the NFL Combine and people start to talk about things. So, you know, who knows what we'll hear next week.
What are they doing in Berea now? I mean, is it all research, gathering for the draft, and trying to figure out, you know, free agents? Or is this getting to know each other, coach time? Or what is actually happening in Berea now?
Well, it's a lot of different things. They're in a lot of draft meetings, and they do have some catching up to do. I mean, Andrew Berry's taking over a department, you know, sort of late in the game. So those guys are catching up to a lot of different things. The coaches are meeting and working on their game plans. Then everyone's working on free agency and the existing roster, evaluating it, watching tape, figuring out who they want to keep and who they don't. So a lot going on in Berea right now.
Mary Kay, what do you think the expectations are going to be like surrounding Kevin Stefanski, his staff, Andrew Berry here? Because the expectations going into last year were high, based on the way they finished the previous season. I would think the expectations would still be pretty high based on more talent on the roster and a year together now, even with a different coaching staff.
Well, I think the expectations will still be high, but I don't know if they will be through the roof like they were last year. And I think that that did get out of control. And I think people did put too much stock in those last eight games of the Cleveland Browns under Freddie Kitchens and Baker Mayfield. I think people got a little too excited about that. And I just think they set themselves up for some of the things that happened last season. So I think that people will be enthusiastic, but it will be tempered some. And I just don't think we're going to be talking Super Bowl right away.
Always a pleasure, Mary Kay. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
Mary Kay Cabot joining us from the Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.